You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring prana to you and the planet. I'm your host, co-host, and bottle washer, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Washing bottles, Scott, and you?
Thing. We were talking about revisiting. We've been doing a series of what you need to do to really do a good job of getting ill. And there's been a huge number of comments from people that have listened to the shows saying, wow, I mean, I didn't know doing that was one of the reasons why I was feeling so tired all the time, or doing this was something that over time could cause all these different problems. And I think that's one of the issues with our society is that there's all these things that people do thinking that they're helping, and in fact they're not. And we've talked about a whole pile of things, like last time we talked about the toxic home, and we have talked before about aerobic exercise and breathing and everything else, but we really wanted to revisit that because it's such an important aspect of our health. And Martin, you were, just before we went on the air, were telling me about a fellow who contacted you with prostate cancer, and he did a lot of exercises. So, you know, it's really weird because a lot of times we're doing these exercises thinking that, oh man, this is going to make me so healthy, because we've been told you need to exercise, you need to look after your calories, cut out your fat, and get 8 hours sleep, and
yes,
drink 8 glasses of water. There's a lot of eights around here, but and that's kind of it. It's like, oh, okay, I think I'll take up the exercise of skydiving, and forget the calories or something. And then you wonder why you're not feeling so good, right? So tell us a little bit about this fellow that called you with the prostate cancer.
Yes, let me recap this. The situation with cancer. Cancer, or the common cancer, rises in an oxygen-deprived tissue. There are several ways you can deprive your tissue of oxygen. One is presence of toxins. The other one is absence of nutrients. And the third one is, that relates to the pH of the lymphatic fluid. If your body fluids are acidic, they have lost their ability to carry oxygen, or their capacity to carry oxygen. Therefore, your cells will always be somewhat under oxygen supply. This fellow was an active, avid cyclist. He had, road race bike, and he would go onto these 3 and 4 hour burns, he calls them. He just loved the fact that he could just go hard, fast, and go to the wall, through the wall, and so on. Mm. But what he's doing in the process is he's burning all of the available oxygen. So every day when he goes racing or riding, he's putting himself into this marginally oxygen-deprived state.
So, and this is, what we're talking about here is 3 or 4 hours of biking as hard as you can.
Well, I actually watched the Tour de France this year, enjoyed it immensely, and I'm watching these guys doing these climbs up the passes. Mm-hmm. It's a 20-kilometer ride that has a, 1,500-meter gain. That's like 4,500 feet of elevation.
Right.
And these guys will do it in like 45 minutes or an hour or something like that.
Okay, so 20 kilometers in 45 minutes to an hour going up 4,500 feet.
And their heartbeats, and they're showing this on monitors, they're showing their heartbeats, and they're showing green area, amber area, red area, and they're showing their metabolic rate, and they're showing their heart rate. And the commentators are talking about this very thing. If the guy puts himself beyond what his liver can metabolize, he's going to, you can do that for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, but if you sustain it, all of a sudden, you just saturate your body with lactic acid and you blow it. Mm. And you could see these guys, and they would point it out and says, see, this guy just blew it. and you can watch him, you know, he's falling off the pace, and just, it's not in him.
Right, right.
Anyway, the point of that is that this person has saturated their body with lactic acid, all of their muscles are aching, they're stiff, lactic acid, acidity, you know, like, you're in trouble.
Right.
So if you have done this every day
for years,
you will have caused your tissues, your vital organs, to be deprived of oxygen. So wherever there's a weak spot for other reasons, like in a man, if you're iodine deficient, your prostate will suffer. The prostate will show up to be the weak spot, and prostate cancer, ta-da, here I come. I was talking to another lady not long ago. She's a 35-year-old or so, an avid runner, thin, great shape. You know, like, you look at her, she is in phenomenal shape. She runs 20, 30 kilometers every week, you know, quite a bit. Colon cancer. And she's asking, why would I get colon cancer?
Yeah, why would you not get it? Because obviously you're making your body very acidic, and that's going to be your weak spot.
Right.
But we've been trained to think that if we're fit, then we're healthy, and that's our society in many ways, isn't it? It looks good on the outside; it must be good on the inside, right?
Yeah, it's a logical thing, isn't it?
And it's not that at all. It's, hey, maybe you look good on the outside, but what you're doing is damaging the inside. It's kind of like I've got this car, and it's a Porsche, and I shine it up every day, and I polish it, and I dust it. I mean, it sparkles, but I haven't changed the oil in 10 years.
Yep.
And it's like...
Or better yet, you always run it in the red line.
Always run it. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a sweet spot in every car. In the common vehicles that we drive, it's somewhere at around 3,000 RPMs, right?
Yeah.
But if you run your car at 6,000 RPMs all the time, you will actually cut the engine's life in half. Speculating, but it's going to be something like that.
Right. So, and I think probably another aspect of both these people, the problem that they have is an addiction to kind of maybe the high they get from running or the high they get from burning. I mean, it sounds to me like there's an aspect of obsession here. Because I want to juxtapose me with this too, okay? Like, I mean, I'm 50. I'm in relatively good shape. I'm not. I don't have a bodybuilder's body or anything like that. But my chest is not being. My belly is not bigger than my chest. Let me put it that way. Okay, if you look at me sideways, it kind of goes the right way. But there's definitely, you know, some fat there. But I'll go for an hour walk in the woods, or I'll go for an hour bike ride in the woods. You know, and I find that you know, my muscles are building up in my legs. I'm feeling good. But I, you know, halfway through my bike ride, I'll stop because there's this magnificent mountain, and I'll sit on a bench and I'll look at the mountain and watch the birds and what's going up and down the river, and then I come back. So I mean, there's no time in there where I was actually thinking of adding in something where I, you know, do a little sprint for 2 or 3 minutes or something on the bike, but there's no time in there where I'm working hard, but I wouldn't say that I couldn't, you know, lean over and talk to somebody if they were biking beside me or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a point I want to make. There is the concept of aerobic exercise and anaerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. And anaerobic exercise also is known out there as interval training.
Okay.
Where you do multiple reps at full intensity, but then you rest. So you would take a 20 or 30 second sprint and then rest for 2 minutes until you completely catch your breath. Or you do 10 reps of something, you know, whatever, curls or push-ups or...
With weights or... Oh, yeah, push-ups,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, whatever you... I mean, whatever weight, you know, like push-ups with three guys sitting on your back, you know.
Yeah.
If you can handle it. But the point is that you want to put out as much energy as possible, really loading your muscles to the limit, but only for a brief moment. And then stop. And then get your oxygen back.
And that tends to be, like, I keep thinking back to, you know, man 10,000 or 100,000 years ago, right? And you'd be walking along and, you know, picking a few berries or whatever, and then you'd see a deer or something or an antelope, and you'd chase after it with your spear, and, you know, and after about 20 seconds, it's long gone, you stop, and you continue walking.
Yeah, you either make it,
or you
give up. And you can watch the other hunters... You know, typically lions or that sort of thing. They don't run for miles. That's reserved for dogs and coyotes or something like that.
Yeah. That's right. Or I was going to say, a saber-toothed tiger comes after you. You run really hard for a while until it gives up, and then you rest,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Either the tiger's quicker, or you've made it either on a tree or into a cave or whatever. But the point is, that's the... anaerobic exercise, the interval training, is actually developing or growing your muscle. It's firming your physique. It's, you know, shaping you correctly. And aerobic exercise, say something like the marathon runner or long distance runner or long distance cyclist, these people are actually suffering from immune problems. You know, like, this is very common.
So, when I think of aerobic exercises, I think of the local gym that has classes where you do aerobics.
Yes.
So would you be saying that's probably not a wise thing to do as a basis for your physical fitness program?
It's not the best use of your time.
Okay.
Now, I would suggest a rebounder, a mini trampoline.
Okay.
Because there, in 10 minutes of bouncing, you're going to do a phenomenal amount of good. And it goes something like this. When you have the mini trampoline, as you bounce on it, if you go gently, at the bottom of the bounce, your cells are still traveling downward, but you have now stopped, right?
Yeah.
So you've now changed the direction. You're going back up. So what does the gravity do to your body?
Pulls it down more.
That's right. So you have about 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 G's acting on your tissues.
Right. And also on your internal organs.
Yeah. Which of your cells are exercised at that point?
All of them.
That's it. You're so quick.
Okay. That seems obvious.
I know, but it's not
a trick.
Yeah, no, this is not a trick. But it's the point is that most people don't understand. You know, when you're sitting on a bicycle and you're pedaling, which of your cells are you exercising? The legs,
right?
Yeah. Your legs are spinning. Most everything else, you're breathing, so your chest is going in and out. But you know, the major muscles that are moving is the legs, right? If you're doing curls with your free weights, all you're doing is exercising the arm. But when you are on a trampoline, you bounce. Every time you take a bounce, if it's a soft bounce, it's about 1.25, 1.5 G. If you do hard bounces, it's probably 2 G.
Hmm.
So that gives you, like, you know, all this. At 2 G, every cell of your body is lifting double its weight.
Oh.
So you
could be looking at that as I'm exercising. If I'm a 180-pound man, I'm exercising 360 pounds.
At the bottom of your bounce, you're weighing 360.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
So anyway, 10 minutes on a rebounder can produce a phenomenal level of fitness, especially when, you know, if you take the video and watch what you can do with the rebounder.
Right. Because there's different ways you can move your body as well, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can do isotonic, isometric, you know, lift your arms, extend your arms, do these kicks or bounces leaning forward, leaning back. You can sit on the rebounder and you know, exercise or abdominals. I mean, there's wonderful amount of exercising you can do in 10 minutes. And that's all you need, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I actually have a rebounder here in my office, so I'm on it in many of the phone calls I do with people.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and it's. And I think, actually, you just made a really good point, because when you develop your body to a certain degree or level, it doesn't take a lot of time or energy to maintain it at that level. And we see that all the time with people that are obese, right? They say, oh, I've tried to lose weight. Well, that, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to maintain the obesity. But we don't really think a lot about people that are fit. And I know a fellow who's was almost a competitive bodybuilder at one point in time, and now it's like 10 or 15 years after that, and he's still like nice looking arms, you know, good definition and everything else. And I said to him, like, man, I know you work a lot. Like, how do you keep in this great shape? And he says, surprisingly, Scott, I work out like 15, 20 minutes a day, and it maintains this.
Yes. So, but he probably practices this interval training,
yeah,
or anaerobic exercise, which will maintain your shape beautifully. You do not need to spend a lot of time on exercise. And this is the whole point. 10 to 15 minutes a day, or even four times a week, is enough. If you do the interval exercise or interval training to give you a great shape and keep you in great shape.
Interesting. And you're exercising all of the organs. I was thinking actually with like the rebounder, and you're not depriving any of the organs of oxygen when you're doing anaerobic exercises.
Well, you are. However, you do it for such a brief amount of time, and then you allow it to just be undone, that for the long term, you give all the benefits and none of the downside.
Right. Right, because if you're low on oxygen for 5 minutes a day, and you're breathing in a lot of air, then that's not a big problem. Whereas if you're doing that for 3 hours a day, then you're going to have some damage.
That's right.
Huh.
So anyway, you know, speaking of your walks, you know, like that 1 hour long walk, I mean, it's a good thing, you know, you exercise your arms, your legs, whatever, it's good for the circulation, the lymphatic system, and all of that. And especially it's great when you go into nature, because you're looking at things other than straight lines, concrete walls, and computer screens, right?
Yeah. Well, and the other day we hiked up a mountain nearby, which was about a 1,500 meter, so
4,500 feet.
Yeah, and we didn't go all the way. We went to the tree line, so I'm not sure how much of it we did. But when and that's not my point. My point wasn't that we walked up the mountain. My point was there was a certain point in the walk where we turned around a corner, and it was like running into a wall. And I stopped and I said to my friend, smell that air. It smelled so good and fresh and alive. And it just hit me like, whoa. And the reason I'm telling you is I cannot remember any time, like very rare in my life, have I said, wow, does that air ever smell good? It's not something we think about that much, right?
Right. Yeah. It doesn't happen to you on the intersection of Broadway and Main, right?
No, that's right. It was just like, whoa, that air is delicious. And, so that's another reason to get out into nature, right? It's like, feel the love. So, but breathing, that's something, too, I wanted to kind of touch on today, because we, you were talking about these people and their breathing and their shallow breaths and all the rest of it, and that can't be helpful for getting oxygen deep into the body.
Right, exactly. Well, the first thing that you would notice about people is the moment you're scared, you know, you go, boo, and
boo.
Yeah, and the first thing that happens is you stop breathing.
Yeah.
The scared person stops breathing, stops.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you notice, that scared people breathe right at the top of their chest. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the essentially heaving right there, right by the neck.
Yeah.
And a relaxed person, on the other hand, typically, especially babies, if you watch that, breathe abdominally. And you see their bellies actually expand out.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why it is that this society values bigger chests so much more and, you know, pump or stick out your chest and pull in your belly.
Yeah. Well, it's that they want that shape, right? And if you're pushing out your belly and you're making that area bigger, then you don't look that V shape.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know why this culture has made it look unattractive to us to have a belly out, but that is actually the way to do it. That's the way to breathe. You know,
yeah.
When you inhale, you should actually pull down the diaphragm. Make room for it so that there's more room in your chest cavity for the lungs to expand.
They don't teach that in school, I don't think.
Right. No, I don't know. But they do teach it in yoga classes.
Yes, they do. In fact, they spend a lot of time on breath in yoga.
Yeah, the pranayama classes or breathing classes where the you know, you're learning to breathe deeper and completely. You know, one of the most common ones that you would, or the basic breaths that you would want to contemplate is indeed, you know, do the inhalation on count of eight, then hold for eight, and then slowly exhale on count of eight, and then stop again, count of eight, and so on.
Well, the ancient Hawaiians said that the breath was incredibly powerful, and before they do anything, they would stop and they would breathe. And of course, the Europeans, when they came there, they'd be saying, "Okay, we're going to go do this." And the Hawaiian would say, "Okay, we're going to go do it." And then the European would rush off, and he'd turn around, and there's the Hawaiian not moving because he was breathing in, and then he'd be breathing out, and breathe in, and breathe out, and preparing to actually go. And the nickname for the white guy in Hawaii, which I cannot recall exactly what it is right now, but it means shallow breath.
Huh.
And they looked at it as a, you know, it was not a polite way. You know.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. Well, you know, shallow breath, weak action, small output.
That's right. That's right.
All you have to do is just look at weightlifters. What do they do before they attempt a lift, right?
Yeah, take a lift. They take a breath.
You know, that's what they do before they start.
Yeah.
The bellows breath. But we talked about this earlier, is about the centering exercise with deep breathing that we do before we get into action and how much impact it has on the quality work we do.
That's right. In fact, before we did this show, I sat down for 15 minutes and did a 15-minute meditation listening on my iPod. And the beginning of it was, you know, take a deep breath in through your nose, fill your belly, hold it. You know, it's exactly what you were saying, right? Hold it, you know, good, hold it a little bit longer. Okay, let it go. And it's funny in the beginning how hard it is to stop and not, you know, be in, out, in, out, in, out, but to go in, pause, out, pause. And
yes.
And if you're not careful, you can go into an altered state quite easily by doing that, right?
Because I like that.
You're separating the in and the out, which are two very powerful forces in our body, right?
Yes.
And I would
dare to comment that whenever we do stop and prepare and center and you know, oxygenate before we sit down to record anything, the result that we produce is better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you said right off the hop, I can tell when you've done it and when you haven't. Yeah. And I go, really?
Yeah. 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 I remember, I think I've done it only once that I told you that I don't think we should record this one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not perfect either, you know. Sometimes I'm just all the way up to the last 2 minutes before I call you. But,
yeah. Well, you get busy and it's like, oh, I'll just get this done. And then the preparation, like I mentioned too, like I do a lot of internet marketing coaching. And when I have a client coming on at 2 o'clock, at quarter to two, I stop everything. I've already reviewed their file and everything. And then I'll just set an intention. And I found that really worked well. It's like, okay, my intention is to really help this person get the most of the can out of the coming hour, and then I visualize it working out really well, and all those sort of things, and then that's what happens. And when I don't do that, the calls are, they're choppy and they're not really
inspired,
and I'm not on top of my game, and communication is poor and everything else. So there's a real value in stopping and setting that intention and putting those kind of thoughts out of this is what I want, and that's what will come back. And,
this reminds me of the Stephen Covey 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm-hmm.
Habit number 7 is sharpen your saw.
Oh, yeah.
And he the example he gives in the book and in the seminars is you're watching this guy sawing a log, and he's sawing and sawing and sawing. He said, you call out to him and say, listen, your saw needs sharpening. It's dull. He says, sorry, I'm busy cutting.
Yeah, that's right.
And this gives the same kind of feedback as what you just said. Sit down for 15 minutes quietly.
Yeah.
Center your mind, clear your consciousness, prepare for that which needs to fill it,
yeah,
instead of just fretting over what's already coming in.
Well, that's right. I remember the loggers, they spend 80% of their time sharpening their axe.
I don't know that, but it certainly makes a huge difference if you're chopping with sharp or dull.
It does, and it's the same with all the things that we do in our lives, but oftentimes we don't think of them in those terms, right?
Mm-hmm. And so this is where the interval training comes into place. If your objective is to have a trim, shaped body with strong muscles, all you need to do is exercise the muscles with intensity. You do not need to have a lot of repetitions.
Mm-hmm. If your intention is to have a long-lasting, strong body that is healthy and vibrant, do the same thing.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense when you think about it to get on a bike and ride it at full force for 3 hours every day for years.
Yeah. That is just smart.
Yeah, and like you were saying about the car, running it at 6,000 or 7,000 RPM, after...
You wear it out.
You wear it out.
And this is what happens to marathon runners or long-distance runners, because at peak of their training season or at peak of their racing season, they succumb to infections. They in their later years, they suffer from... joint problems, the most common thing for long distance runners is that they have inflammation throughout the body, arthritis and that sort of stuff.
And that explains too why I constantly hear of football players who, after their career is over, they spend the rest of their life in pain, because first of all you're banging stuff, but also the type of exercising and everything you're doing is, they can't walk, their knees are gone, everything else. Because they're like that Porsche at 7,000 RPM for 15, 20 years. They just wore everything out.
Yeah, race car engine does not last as long as the regular. Well, so there we have it. What else do we tell people other than consider a rebounder? Instead of a bicycle, in your exercise equipment, if you're thinking of buying any one piece of exercise equipment for your home gym, don't make it something that's just you're sitting on and spinning or turning your wheels or doing stuff like that. It just isn't effective. Even if it's that Nordic, you know, arms and legs, it still doesn't move your center of gravity. So it doesn't slosh your bodily fluids. So it doesn't give you the benefit of the lymphatic circulation.
Right. And if somebody wanted to get a rebounder, where could they look to find out more about them?
We have it on the Life Enthusiast website under exercise. The category would be exercise, or I need to go look at that, but in the shopping cart it would be shop by products, exercise. By brands, we carry two brands. One is called Bellicon. It's a German-made bungee cord deluxe kind of thing, the Porsche.
The Porsche, yeah.
And the other brand we carry is called Cellarsizer, which is a wonderful American-made, you know, very good piece of equipment.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Martin, I think that brings us to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to share this. I think it was really good information. Made me rethink some of how I plan on continuing my exercise programs, and I'll focus a little bit more on the breath and anaerobic exercises versus the aerobics. But if somebody wanted to talk with you more about this sort of thing, how could they get a hold of you?
As before, every episode we repeat this, as if you heard it the first time, www.life-enthusiast.com, or call 1-866-543-3388. That's probably the best ways to get hold of us.
Awesome.
Thank you, folks, for listening. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.